Fantastic. Well, welcome, welcome, everyone. Much love and blessings. Taylor may or may not be able to make it today. She's on a very big event, the Green Sports Alliance. She manifested this huge project that's affecting all the big sports teams in the world. In America, all the big leagues in the different sports are going green, thanks to an idea Taylor had, a vision she had, and she's at one of these massive conferences that now are happening because of it. So yay for Taylor. And we've got a wonderful session, of course, today. And for all of you listening on the webcast, feel free to put your questions in that little box. Love to hear from you and everyone on the phone. If you want to talk to us, we love hearing from you. If you want to say anything, just press star 2 and we can unmute you and you can say hello. And I can't believe how fast this last couple of weeks has gone. It's ridiculous. And I've personally spent the last week, literally, we had someone here come to the house to clean the outside of the house and get rid of any mold or any kind of weird stuff that's growing. We're in Hawaii, you know, stuff grows easily here. And since then, I've literally spent a week solid, that's just about come to an end now, not quite, a week solid, cleaning, tidying, clearing, mainly clearing energy, removing things, burning things, getting rid of things. It's been really intense. And I want to talk a little bit about this because all of you are superheroes and we want you to have remarkable results in your life. We want to see you make powerful shifts in your life. And one of the most powerful ways of you making a shift in your life is to shift the energy where you live. Extremely powerful because if you're spending time in a house, which most of us do at least some of the time, I spend a lot of time in nature as well. I love being out in nature and mountains and the ocean and on the beach, but I also love my home and I'm a bit of a homely person. Some people are more like that, other people are less like that. But wherever you're spending your time, wherever you're choosing to spend your time in the house, it's extremely powerful. So I just want to bring this up today because this is going to affect your journey, your hero's journey. It's going to affect you manifesting everything that you want in your life very, very, very quickly. So I just wanted to share a few things about that before we get started. And highly recommend everyone, and I mentioned this before, that what you do is you take time at least once every 3 months, every quarter, but try and do it every week a little bit, but do it really in a big way, at least, you know, 4 times a year, changing seasons. And literally go through every single item in your house, literally, I'm not joking here, like every single physical object in your entire house, sounds a bit daunting, but I can tell you it's extremely powerful, and look at it and ask, is this the best ever? Is this something that's bringing me joy? Is it helping me on my mission? Or is it just sitting around and I haven't used it, haven't thought about it, and it's sitting about? And physically move it. Even if you just move it from one thing to another and put it back, you've put energy on it and you've moved it. I've literally moved every single item in this whole house, literally, in the last week. And I've nearly gone mad. But it's been extremely powerful because consciousness needs to reach into all aspects of our life, not just our body, but also the things around us. And if it's not something relevant to you now, if it's not something that is bringing you joy now, it's not something that's like directly related to your mission now, just give it away or throw it away, depending on what it is. Someone else could use a lot of your stuff. even clothes that you think, oh, they're nice, but, you know, it's not the best ever, just let it go because you'll get better clothes, you know. And that applies to notes you've made, diaries, old books, photographs, everything, literally, books in your house, jewelry, furniture, stuff in the bathroom, stuff hidden away in storage, you know, boxes, everything. And really, because the thing is, we're already powerful spiritual beings to begin with. We're already unique, perfect, powerful beings. And the problem we have spiritually is that we've cluttered it up, we've covered it over with a bunch of crap, basically. The light of the soul is being covered by the ego and by all these filters. And the result of that is our life is full of crap that shouldn't really be there in our house and in our life and in relationships in all other areas. So it's a spiritual state that has gone out and created the mirror on the outside. So if you can go out there and actually get rid of the things on the outside, you're, in a way, doing the same thing on the inside, because your ability to actually move every single thing in your house and look at it is like looking at your soul, because the inner and outer world are the same. It's a mirror. So by you doing that, it's an inner work, even though it's, you know, physical. You could say it's physically moving around on the external world, but really it's an inner experience. So, you know, you've got a choice here. You can say, oh, this all sounds a bit extreme. I'm just going to, you know, like, put that one off. Or you can take this on seriously and experience profound breakthroughs in your life. Because what happens when you do this is you end up with massively more time. You end up with a huge amount of clarity about what you should do. And you feel massively liberated from everything, you know. And really, as superheroes in this amazing time that we're living in, we need to focus all of our energy exclusively and only on those absolutely essential things that only you can do, only I can do, that each one of us has our particular gift. And if we've got all this other stuff around in our house, in our lives, and in our relationships, it's actually sabotaging our mission, it's clouding us over, and it's preventing us from spiritual transformation, physical transformation. It's stopping energy coming to us because there's too many layers in between us and new energy flowing. So that's just a very quick version of what I've been going through in this last little bit. And if anyone has any questions on this, feel free to put them in the box. And I'm going to do some more audios, videos, or whatever on this topic. I think it's extremely powerful, and I'd love to see you all have that experience, make those breakthroughs. You know, it could be scary, admittedly. I literally burnt on the beach on Tuesday all of my vision boards dating back to 2004, which I had, you know, in different places in the house. And I literally pulled them all out, went down to the beach, made a big pile and burnt them all. And that was very emotional and very scary thing to do, because it has so much energy connected to it. I've been literally seeing these things for like years and years and years, and they're all burnt. I've got nothing on my wall now apart from questions. You know, who am I helping? Why am I doing it? What's the magic? How can I serve more people? I've got questions rather than things. So I'm in the inquiry of what is the best ever rather than thinking I know everything. So be humble, be open to receive new things, be open for new guidance, and be open just to literally get rid of a massive amount of stuff. Because, you know, we are different people now than we were yesterday, and we were last year, and we were 2 years ago. We're completely different people. So based on who you are now, in the inquiry of what is the best ever for you now, not what it was last month or 2011 or whenever you last had thoughts and trying to manifest things. Even your vision board that you started at the beginning of this training might not be relevant anymore. You might want to burn it and start again. Be open, you know. The only thing that we want to be surrendered to is whatever is the highest good for all. You know, like, if anything, just be open to whatever is the highest good for all, I'm surrendered to it, and everything else is going to be burnt because it's all the ego. So just be open always to newness, you'll feel massively liberated and huge amount of power. So, there we go. I just wanted to share that first of all. And I also, Brother Nick's had some interesting experiences. We're going to get to your questions in a minute. We've got a bunch of questions. If you've got anyone on the call, feel free to ask them. Nick has also had some powerful experiences. And then we'll get to the questions. Brother Nicholas, what's been going on for you?
Yeah, powerful, powerful times, bro. Thanks for sharing. The big download I've been getting really and truly is it's this thing about stripping away and getting to the absolute point of everything and uncovering the essence of who we are, living simply and burning with that core purpose. It's really coming to the fore. And this weekend I had an amazing experience myself. I went into a remote valley in Kauai here, and it's either a 12-mile hike along some pretty rugged terrain, or you can kayak in along the ocean. Open ocean kayak paddle, and as soon as you leave, there's one little beach about a mile down the cliffs, and then it's everywhere's inaccessible for the next 10 or 12 miles. So I paddled in there, and I spent a couple of days up there fasting and praying. And which is an old, very powerful way of getting clarity, just offering yourself very humbly like an empty cup and filling up with the spirit of life and nourishing yourself directly from your spiritual source, this notion that we are what we are and we always have been and we always will be, and all this, the illusion of spiritual unfoldment, the illusion of the evolution of consciousness is actually a letting go process, a constant process of surrendering and letting go of who we are not. And this, we are intimately involved in shifting the focus of awareness in superhero training away from the ego and the body consciousness into this spiritual identity that is so powerful and good. And of course, there is the almighty source of juice in there, which is the essence of life and the spirit of life and the pure love itself. And a great, great light, the essence of that love is this illumination, this incredible illumination. It shines through our creation and eternity. And so when one fasts and prays, or certainly when I do, I get a lot closer to that. And immersion in nature is also a key factor. So I had a couple of days up there, wonderful experiences. And then it came time to come in out, because I could eat quite easily if stayed in there for a significant period of time, and it did cross my mind as the rapture and the bliss that I was in, just being by the river and listening to the goodness of nature and nothing else, pretty much, and sleeping by the fire and what have you, was just really, really brings me tremendous joy. So anyway, it came time to come out, and I decided to come out early yesterday morning. And so I skipped down the valley in the dark about 3:30 in the morning, had a couple of miles to hike, get to the beach, and got down to the beach and found my paddle and got my kayak, and just knelt down, had a little stretch, and said a few prayers, and just felt the energies, and the flow was definitely flowing and inviting me. There was a little surf running, but nothing too significant. So I pushed off in the darkness and turned right up the coast, paddled back. And within about 20 minutes of paddling against a pretty strong current that requires, definitely requires some athletic and physical capability, you're going against the current when you paddle north along that coast. After about 20 minutes of paddling into the current, I was hit. I saw it coming. I could see this extra darkness coming my way. And it was like a half moon obscured by the clouds, but there was enough light to make out the different textures of the clouds, and I could see that there was an extra darkness coming my way from a couple of miles up the coast. I was thinking, this is going to be interesting. Anyway, I ended up paddling into the first swell, the first major surf swell, and the first, which was actually scheduled to arrive today, not yesterday, and also the first real storm of the rainy season here. And so I had 3 hours then, from then on, of paddling into a pretty severe storm and surf in pitch darkness. And the waves got so significant that I had to paddle a long way away from the coast to get square on to the surf, to get square onto the waves, so that they weren't, you know, I wasn't going to be tipped over and capsized when they were battering me sideways. So I carried on paddling, and it had got increasingly intense, and the wind was gusting 30 to 40 miles an hour, and it got to the point where I wasn't making any progress whatsoever, and I was getting, absolutely hammered by the elements. But I did an audio file on this morning for you guys called Man Above, which basically means, it's the old Sanskrit word that we talk about often in superhero training, about making my mind one with God's mind. And when we're, swinging around in hammocks or sitting in, with our incense burning and our candles and whatnot, and sitting nice little music or whatever, or sitting under a tree, this is very, it's a lot easier to do, is to get into these sweet states of reverie. But it's when we're in the mosh pit, it's when we're on the front line, it's when we're in these situations of extreme challenge that can trigger primarily fear, anxiety, stress, low-level grade anxiety, and most importantly, shift you out of the essential brainwave state. This is the vibratory rate that your brain is vibrating with, the speed of that, out of the essential delta wave and theta wave state that we attain when we're in meditation, when we're in deep sleep, when we're in deep relaxation, when we're in bliss states of consciousness. We need to be in those brainwave states in order to be connected to God, in order to feel the magic, in order to feel the power, and actually to be able to receive the juice. We can't get it while we're running around, stressing around, especially if we're vibing with fear and low-frequency emotional state, melodrama state. And so here I was, a quarter or a half mile away from the coast in the pitch dark, getting battered. This was a three-hour paddle through some very significant weather. And I was able to monitor my state of consciousness and the strength and that I had for paddling. And there was one particular point where I was actually not making any forward progress for around about half an hour, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. I could see this dark shadow on the cliff of a high point on the trail. It's a very mountainous trail, this trail. Cliffs go very high. I could see this extra dark shadow there, and I could see that. I knew that I could see this deep rock formation there. And every time I turned to look at it, it was there. I'd look again 10 minutes later, after 10 minutes more paddling, it was there. 10 minutes later, after 10 minutes more very difficult paddling, it was there. So I didn't go anywhere for that time, for 30 or 45 minutes. And it happened a couple of times But it happened several times on the way back where I wasn't making any forward progress at all. So what I was doing was I wasn't actually frightened at any point in the journey. I didn't even cross my mind that I wasn't going to make it, or that I wasn't safe. But I did start to wander away from those states of consciousness, the theta state, and definitely the alpha state of consciousness, which is very relaxed, blissful, meditative state of being. Adrenaline was starting to kick in, concern and considering options, random thoughts, you know, a bit of cathartic psycho babble was coming through. And I would notice how weak my arms, how tired my shoulders would get doing this. And so I was able to consciously just renegotiate, reorient my psyche to think about other things, take action instead of reacting to a situation, especially from fear. Now, the most powerful thought I thought, and I thought a lot of thoughts, I was thinking about God. I was saying to myself pretty much each paddle, I love you, God, thank you for loving me. I love you, God, thank you for loving me. I'd really been in the prayer, so I was blessing the world, blessing everything, blessing everyone, blessing the ocean, blessing my body, loving my body, appreciating the strength I had. You know, just really in those kind of mantras. But when I got into those stagnant positions where I wasn't going forward at all, and I was starting to feel some exhaustion kicking in, the real power, what I did was I shifted my state of awareness out of little Nick there sitting in this tiny little kayak in this great big ocean in the dark and getting pounded by the storm to, what would God like to be on this? What would God's mind be? And I was thinking, okay, well, here I am in this little boat, and here's this big ocean and this little island of Kauai, and there's this massive ocean, this Pacific Ocean, and then there's this huge world, this planet Earth, this big old place with all these different countries and things, and then, well, that's flying around in the solar system, and, wow, the Earth's really small compared to the sun, and then I get a bit more perspective then, and then, wow, the sun is actually very, very small compared to some of the other suns that they've discovered, gigantic suns, and then they're small compared to other suns, and then those suns are all part of the galaxy anyway, and there's billions of galaxies in this universe, billions of those just in this universe, and there's billions of universes in this cosmos, and this cosmos is nothing compared to eternity, and God's eternity just breaks easily in God's mind. It's very easily contained. And the whole drama of eternity, the drama of the ages, all things that happen, everything that is, was, never shall be, could be, probabilities, actualities, all of that is contained easily in God's mind. And so we're like lenses, you see. We are like a lens. The soul is a lens. Your psyche is a lens. And the way you think, the way you orient your mind, the way you organize your consciousness and your psyche, either shut the lens down so it becomes myopic and egoic, and we focus on this one little thing in front of us and become melodramatic about it, amplify it, and feed low-frequency emotion. It becomes cluttered, like Mike was saying, with all this stuff and all this crap. The lens gets dirty, you see. So what we can do is we can clean the lens. And one of the most powerful ways to clean the lens is to let more light through it by opening the lens. So all I did in those most difficult times was I expanded my awareness and I opened my mind, my lens, from little old Nick in his little bow to God's perspective. And I did it very quickly. Like it took, a few seconds or, half a minute to do that. And then I was just laughing. I was literally laughing to myself. And I was just having so much fun, just paddling there, getting hammered. And it just, after a little while longer, the wind would drop from 40 miles an hour to 20 miles an hour. And now I was going forward again. So I'd paddle up the coast for another hour. And then it would kick in again. The full monkey would kick in again. And then I would go through a similar process. And eventually, and the last mile, I can tell you, the last mile of the journey where I could see the destination, oh my goodness, that was so challenging because I was like, I've made it. But the wind and the current and the waves, oh my goodness, and the cross chop and everything, that was the hardest part of it all. And so I've had these experiences, a lot of these experiences before, and we all play a unique part in life. Mike isn't into doing any of these things whatsoever. This is not his style. He has other specialities, other things that really turn him on, and you have you have a very unique expression, very unique dharma, a very unique way of experiencing peace and personal empowerment. You have to live it. You have to live your truth, and this is the time to do it. So throw away all your junk, throw away all your crap, and live your truth powerfully. And what you find is no matter what you're doing, whether it's paddling up to Nepali and, you know, first thing in the morning or burning your, you know, you know, that have been very, very, very powerful for you, powerful totems and supportive agents over the years. What you find is the hero's journey has these distinct elements in it where there is a destination to achieve or a goal to accomplish, and there are challenges. And those challenges can be scary, and they're going to trigger low frequency emotional response, or they're going to give you the opportunity to react and be driven by low frequency emotional response like fear, anxiety, stress, doubt, confusion, chaos, all that stuff. Or you can respond consciously and put yourself into higher states of consciousness, to open your lens up, expand your awareness. It's the optimal attitude going. And even if it doesn't seem like you're making any progress whatsoever, even if it seems like the whole thing is against you, I haven't got any money, there's no money coming, this, that, and the other, whatever it is, the mountain of reasons to justify your attitude right now, drop the bullshit. It's nothing to do with being a superhero, entertaining, egoic, psychobabble is nothing to do with being the real deal. The superhero kicks in when that conversation starts. And, you know, we've got the tools to do it. They're drenched. The training is drenched with them. And so it's just a case of really applying it. And I just want to encourage everyone to really flip and go for it right now. Go for being who you are. You know, it's really time to live that crazy dream, to do that thing that you're here to do, to be that person against all odds and at all costs. David Wolfe got a great quote in one of his in Amazing Grace. It says, it's something like, it's going to take all you've got to be all you can be. Something like that. It's going to take everything you have to be, you know, who you truly are. You know, it's the full 100% commitment, all-out deal. And the superhero has to step off the cliff into the darkness and step onto solid ground when it looks like the chasm, the abyss is in front, where they can't see the bridge. That's a huge part of the movement of success in this thing. The this thing that we're in. It's not about, you know, getting a better job, blah, blah, blah. It's about movement of soul proportion, of archetypal magnitude. And there, the power of them is compressed into this little reality that you're living in. But wherever that fear is, wherever that thing is that's stopping you, just turn around and face it. Say, right, now's the time. Now is the time. And you've got all the tools to do it and all the support in the world. And we love you.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, everyone has their own style. And you'd be surprised how much the world just carries on if you just drop things, throw things away, do new things. You know, I personally feel like I've snapped out of a trance recently, and I think we all go in and out of trances, different trances, by doing the same things again and again. And we need to smash that trance in different ways so that we can see things fresh, you know. I love going to nature as well as Brother Nick, you know. I'm not necessarily particularly needing to have physical ass kickings, but I get them in my own way. But I love spending a lot of time in nature and just being completely in a different place, or just throwing stuff away or getting rid of stuff or just being super hardcore in different ways. And it just smashes old trances that we might have been in, you know, for lifetimes, essentially, you know. So yeah. This is the time to break the trance. Like, you smash a glass and all of a sudden you feel completely differently. So yeah. Chances are you are in a trance right now and you're coming out of there. And the more you do these little rituals, the more you start looking at things consciously, the more you break up the rhythm, it kind of jars things and shifts energy. And then all of a sudden you're in a new reality and you see differently, you feel differently, you know, you respond differently. How you perceive other people is different. How you see your life is different. So you have access to all these different states and these new things if you have the courage to do stuff differently. And it's going to require you doing different things to have a different result. You know, you can't carry on doing the same thing you've done for years and years and years, and it's all going to change. We actually have to do something different, wake up at a different time, go to different places, wear different clothes, think different thoughts, spend time with different people, do things in different ways, flip things upside down, you know, turn them around, spin them about, throw stuff away, and you become different. And that's such a joy. Such a joy.
Yeah.
I shaved my beard recently. I had a shave. Brother Mike had lost his beard after many years. I was like, why am I got this thing for? Got rid of it. You know, just like shift it all up. You know what I mean? Shift it all up.
Wonderful, Ra. I'm looking forward to coming around and giving you a kiss, brother. So, hey, I just wanted to say, two really important points. One thing is the power of nature. Nature reflects our inner nature. And one of the huge things that Taylor, Michael, and I all have in common is how much we love to be in nature and how much time we spend there. And then the second thing is what Mike was saying then about, you know, when you let all these things go, when you dare to be different, and dare to break up your rhythms and dare to let go of these things that you're clinging to, it's the invisible forces that come to your aid. This is one of the most important things. Things that are not on the radar right now. There's a multitude of resources, people, situations and circumstances that you have no notion of right now. That are waiting to come into your life if you will change and make room for them, make yourself available for this, for the newness. And, you know, we all experience this, how quickly life can change, just meeting someone that you didn't even know, how quickly that can change. And there's it's the things that are not on the radar. What the ego does that keeps us bound in these situations is look for the situation right now with the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle that are there and think that's it. It's all it can see. It's like science. Science can only examine what it can quantify and touch. That's why it's inherently, it has a massive shortcoming. That's why scientists have virtually all go mad, because they will not surrender to the invisible, which is 99.9 recurring percent of it, the mystery. And that's what we need to do as superheroes, trust in that and allow that, come in, make room for that. Trust in the invisible and the things that are not on the radar, the people, the resources, places, circumstances, things, the synchronicities, all of that is there and just waiting to come in as we will have the courage to make room for that. Is Taylor there now?
Praise the Lord. Absolutely. So shake it up, shake it up, shake it up. So we've got some questions. So let's have a look. And anyone alive who wants to say anything, you're always welcome. We love hearing from you. So I'm going to take this one from Sandy in Seattle. Sandy in Seattle, that sounds good, doesn't it? So she's basically got a good long question here about the 80-20 rule, which I talk about in depth and I'm very interested in. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's very long, but basically she's saying, she wants me to explain how it works, and am I saying that you can only do 2 hours work a day, or, and if you do, she's basically asking, does the 80-20 principle apply all the time, no matter what you're doing? So even if you think you're focused, you're not really focused, and it's still not going to be effective. Or is it that you can actually have genuinely focused time? So rather than trying to explain her question, I'm just explaining the 80-20 rule again in a different way addressing the question. So basically, this 80-20 rule, which I seriously encourage all of you to study in depth and take this very, very, very seriously, because if you don't take it seriously, chances are you're wasting 80% of your life right now, and you're going to continue to waste it for the rest of your life. And that is a serious problem. You don't want to waste 80% of your life, do you? And that's what most people are doing. That's what all of us are going to be doing. We don't understand this. So what it means, and this is a proven fact in every area, literally. It might not be exactly 80-20, but it's around that. So I'll just explain it. So what it is, for example, today, out of the time that you're awake, let's say you're awake for 16 hours, let's say you have a long rest or whatever, and out of that you are, let's say, 3 hours of that time is highly effective. You did certain things. You did 3 hours. What made the day the best ever? And that might be getting up and meditating. It might be yoga practice you did. It might be a conversation you had with somebody that was really meaningful. It might be you did a certain thing for 1 hour on your project that really moved things forward because you were fully focused. You gave all your energy to it. You felt good about it. You did it in an inspired space. And you wrote this great thing, or you sent this thing out to people, or whatever it is, and you know that one thing you did today was really powerful. And then you look at the rest of your day, and you potted around, you did this, you had a conversation that wasn't very interesting with somebody for a certain amount of time. Maybe you ate some food that didn't agree with you and you feel tired afterwards. Or maybe you're sitting in front of a computer, checking Facebook and your emails for hours without realizing it. It was just random.
or whatever, you know.
So all of us have this like vague grey area time that's kind of vague and unproductive and not getting anywhere. And then we have this time which is really powerful. So it literally applies to our day, but it also applies to other things. For example, in a health food store, 20% of what they sell gives them 80% of their income, right? Like the money that they get comes from just 20% of the items. Also, 20% of the people, roughly, who come in the health food store are the same people. You know, they come in 80% of the time. So there's a few people that come in all the time and spend a lot of money and buy stuff. And then everyone else comes in occasionally and buys a little bit and leaves. So, and it's the same with money. You know, the 80% of the wealth is owned by 20% of the people in the world. And in each country, 20% of the people in the country roughly own 80% of the wealth. So this literally applies to money, to land ownership, to businesses, to time that you spend on things, to the stuff that you do in your projects, to your relationships. 20% of your relationships are bringing you 80% of your joy in your life. And 80% of them are only giving you 20% of your joy. And also, 20% of the people that you know are causing you 80% of your suffering. They're just stressing you out the most. So there might just be like 3 or 4 people who just ruin your life in a way, who you don't enjoy their company. There's not many, but it's having a big effect on you. Same with your mind. Just a few thoughts in your head are causing emotional reactions and pain and sorrow and keeping you in the story. And all the rest of them are not really very powerful. And on the positive side, certain thoughts that you think every day are really empowering, really moving you forward and getting a massive result, making you feel amazing. And all the rest of them are kind of random. You don't have any real energy. So I'd like to encourage everyone to start looking at themselves through this lens. But what are those few things, those few little things that bring you maximum joy every day? You know, what foods bring you joy? What people bring you joy? What physical, you know, stuff you do with your work, with your project that you love that really moves things forward? What kind of clothes do you love wearing? What kind of fragrances do you love? What jewelry do you love to wear? You know, what places do you love to go to? Just think about every single area of your life and just write down. It's good to know what are those things that, like, you just love them so much and they make a big difference. And most people don't know what they are. See, most people are just vaguely wandering through life without any idea what's happening. So if you can just write them down, it's such a simple thing, but it's so powerful, because then what you end up with is a list of power, a list of pure power on paper. And all you've got to do, if you want to be a superhero and have an amazing life, all you've got to do is do that stuff on that piece of paper. Right? Now, we can't tell you what that is. We can give you suggestions and we've got all sorts of stuff, but you know yourself better than anyone else. You are your own doctor, you know. You are your ultimate surgeon, your ultimate doctor, your ultimate guru. So write that stuff down. You know yourself the best. Just be honest. Who do you love spending time with? Where do you love going? And when it comes to your project and your businesses and these sort of things, good question to ask yourself, and I highly encourage this. I've written this on my board this morning, actually. If you only had 2 hours this whole week to do anything for your business or your project, I only had 2 hours the whole week, the rest of the time you couldn't work on anything, what would you do in those 2 hours? What would you do in those 2 hours? You only had 2 hours a week. And asking that question forces your mind to focus on the essential core things that are going to get you more clients or get you a bigger result or help people more or get money towards you or whatever it is, you know. Otherwise, the ego, Mr. Lizard, as I like to call it, Mr. Lizard is talking to you and getting you to waste your time, to do all the distracting, pointless things that don't have any effect really. and then end of the day and nothing really happened. So what we want to do is discover those 20% things that really make a difference and do them first. Never, never, never let your day just wake up, wander about, and just do whatever happens. Discover this stuff. You know, this is what makes people the difference between enlightened human beings, conscious human beings, and unenlightened, vague people. You know, it's just simply asking a question and then acting on it. And what it comes down to, related to this question, is, you know, can we do more than 2 hours work a day that's effective? Quite honestly, this has been my experience. I've been essentially working for myself 15 years. Like, I am an authority on this subject. So I haven't, you know, I've been in charge of my life very, very practically for 15 years. I actually have watched other people and watched myself, and realistically, we can't do more than 2 to 4 hours of genuinely super-focused work a day. You can sit in front of a computer for 10 hours a day, no problem, but you're not going to get much done. So it's better to say to yourself, look, I've only got 2 hours, and I've only got 2 hours this week, imagine. What am I going to do? And turn all your things, turn Facebook off, turn your emails off, turn your phone off, shut the door, lock the door, tell people not to interrupt you, and just go at that thing for an hour and then have a break, and then another hour and have a break. And if that's all you did for those 2 hours, you would have done more in those 2 hours, more effective work, more powerful work than most people have done in probably 2 days who are just checking Facebook and half-assed doing things. And if you want to do it again, you can do another 2 hours in the day and you'd end up with 4 hours. But that's about it. You know, like, don't bother trying to do more than 4 hours of focused work because it's not going to be effective. Really, you're better off sitting on the beach, reading a book, going for a walk, going for a hike, doing yoga, hanging out with people, you know, listening to audio, doing meditation, you know, whatever else you love to do, you know. But don't waste your time working, because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's just the ego wanting to be distracted. iPhones are a massive distraction, you know, everyone's texting and Facebook and Skype and this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. Turn all that stuff off. It's stuck in your life, you know. This is not a supportive thing at all for your mission, for your joy. You just have this distraction all the time. So, in essence, just to recap, and of course I can go on about this for hours and hours, but basically work out what that 20% that brings you the most joy is, write it down. Also work out what are the things that stress you out, make you feel upset, lose your power, people, foods, places, situations. What are all the things that are stressing you out? Clothes that you don't feel comfortable in, whatever, and just delete all of it. You know, be on a mission to just remove. Be ruthless. You're the captain of your own soul. You're in charge of your life. You know, you don't have to show up for social occasions that you don't enjoy. You don't have to go through all this nonsense. Be hardcore about it. This is your life you're talking about, you know. But get rid of all that stuff that doesn't bring you joy. And obviously be tactful. Don't hurt people's feelings and, you know, be too harsh and then you have to deal with the mess, because then that's not 820. It'd be nice, but just remove it. Focus on that 20%. And if you're going to do work on your projects and your business, just get it in your head that you can't do more than 2 to 4 hours of effective work a day. So just aim to do 2 hour solid session that's super focused with no distractions, then another 2 hour solid session. The rest of the time, just relax, enjoy yourself, be open to guidance, have the best day ever, and you're actually going to get more done than you would have done normally. You'll be way more effective than you were before, way more effective than near everyone else in the world, and you'll have considerably more time to do other things, you know. So you also need to work out what are you going to do with all this extra time that you've now got. You know, what do you want to do? Do you want to learn more stuff? Do you want to read things? Do you want to spend more time in nature? Do you want to go swimming? Do you want to watch a movie? You know, inspiring movies only, useful. What do you want to do with this extra time you've got? You want to develop, spend more time in your relationship. So you've got all this new time to enjoy yourself. You've got just 2 to 4 hours of solid work a day, and you're going to have a completely different life. And anyone who does this is going to get a powerful result. I 100% guarantee it. 1000% guaranteed. This works, but it does require discipline. It does require you being conscious every day and writing that stuff down and following through with it. Otherwise, you just get taken over by this swamp, this cloudy, swampy mess of vagueness that most people live in. So go for it, and I'd love to hear from anyone next time we chat about how that worked, how powerful it was, and your experiences.
So this brings us into Nick's question from Cork in Ireland. He wants a bit of encouragement because he's just started his new business over there. And he's got his little wellness office in the city centre in Cork, and he's gone as a health and nutrition coach. But he's got a few last-minute doubts and fears and insecurities, which he guesses is normal. So he wants a bit of encouragement and motivation before embarking on this new adventure. So remember the story I told at the beginning about paddling the Nepali there in the dark and the storm? So there's a few bits in there. And what Mike just said about the 80-20, what we have to understand as a superhero is that life is the only reason why that we experience lack or difficulty in life is because we are not vibrating on the highest levels of joy and inner peace. You know, remember when we were kids and everything was just supplied, you know? And just running around, and everything was just supplied. All we did was play, and it was food, there were clothes, there was this, there was that. And suddenly it's like, okay, grow up, get real. Well, it's the same thing. We are the children of life. And when you do the 80-20 thing, and incidentally, the great Walter Russell, one of the most intelligent and least well-known men in the history of America, Walter Russell, there's a book called The Man Who Discovered the Secrets of the Universe. He was the personal advisor for, I think, 5 American presidents. He was the inside guy when presidents of America were actually great men. Walter Russell was a great man. He was an artist, a painter, and he left school when he was 8 years old, I think, after he was playing marbles, a game of marbles, and he just flicked these marbles into these other ones, and he just had an explosion of enlightenment when he was 8 years old and left school and started his own business immediately at 8. This guy was a total legend. And he said, He would only concentrate on one single project for 2.5 hours. That was his thing as well. And he'd paint for 2.5 hours, then he'd go and do some sculpting for 2.5 hours, then he'd go and do figure skating for 2.5 hours. He was an American figure skating champion up until his late 60s. He'd go and ride his horses. He had a dozen black stallions, Arab stallions, all black, that he kept in stables in the middle of Central Park in New York City. He'd go and ride his stallions, and he'd go and, love his wife up. Amazing guy. So he knew about this thing. The way it works is this. You need to be in joy. You need to be living life in a way that makes you feel amazing, brings you alive. And then life will naturally, very naturally, totally and 100% support your ventures, your adventures, your business ventures, your all of it. But it's when we don't do that, it's when we keep slogging away I often use that analogy of, you know, carrying the heavy rocks up the mountain, you know, and expect the medals when we get to the top, you know, struggling away. That's like the old fault. It's the Matrix's version of the hero that we were, you know, in programmed with from when we were kids with all the old, you know, hero movies. But there's something much, much, much more efficient and effective. And it's basically, you know, loving your life, having a good time, really doing the things that you enjoy, you know. And then you have joy. And so if you do that, that's your magnetism. You have more personality, more persona. You have a magnetic personality. So whatever you put your time into and your creativity in terms of your business, you're going to be much more attractive when you're vibing with those kind of vibrations. Life will naturally help you fulfill your desires because your desires are coming from the right place within you. Which leads us into the first question we got down here from Olivia Joy, and she's talking about how do women, she's asking how women get into their heart and activate their powers, but how do we listen to our heart when our mind is nagging heavily? And this is the same point, this is the same theme running through all these questions here, and it is doing the things that you love most of the time, because that's what your heart wants you to do. Happiness is a natural heartfelt experience, you see. We're not talking about the ego's temporary happiness with its baubles and little things. We're talking about genuinely heart-soaked, rich, deep joy. My cousin used to say that to me all the time when I was a kid. I didn't know what he was talking about. He'd say that to me all the time, deep joy. And he'd just be blissing out in his own life, deep joy. And there's a deep joy that emanates from you when you're doing the things that you love to do, when you're spending your time in the way, when you're doing those things that Mike was talking about on that list that you love to do. You know, you just have the joy exuded. So then you know what's good. And the mind, there's two awarenesses in the body. There's the awareness of the heart, which is much closer to divinity, than the awareness of the mind, which is the human, you know, logical thing. And we need to just, you know, that's why the superhero training is structured like it is. You get discipline over the mind. You learn to shut the mind off like a computer or a radio. You can turn it off whenever you want to, so you don't have to listen to that. And when you're developing that ability, it's like you can be in another room meditating, but there's a radio playing, you know, in the next room or the room down the hall, and you can still hear it, but you are still able to enjoy your meditation, you see? And when you develop these levels of mastery, which is coming from following your heart's joy, following your heart's guidance, having the courage, this is what a spiritual warrior is. This is why Jesus is often drawn with the picture of a bleeding heart, holding, you know, he's holding his gown open a little bit, and there's his bleeding heart, you see? And this is the same with Hanuman, the great Indian personification of that level of consciousness as well. The heart is guiding, the tender heart, sweet heart. That's the organ of interfaith. And so when we plug into life with that, by following our joy and having the courage to do it, that's where all the goodies come in, flowing into your being. All the medicine, all the juice, all the magic, all the power, the stuff that you're really looking for, the stuff that the ego's looking outside of itself for and has been convinced that it exists in materialism and consumption. So what the spiritual warriors are discovering is it actually exists in having less things, simplifying your life, consuming far less. And this whole 80-20 thing as well works with the food as well. 80% of the food most people are eating, and most people it's probably way more, you know, you could virtually throw it away. And you could eat 20% of the quantity, but just have that 20% super high quality, optimal nutrition, and you're feeling wonderful. But there's a weaning off of the addiction process that has to be done. And there's a period of taming the mind and calming the mind, silencing the mind, and mastering the mind. And that's why achieved by doing all these things that we're talking about here. So it's a beautiful thing, and it's I'm glad all these things are running into the same thing. So what else, brother? What other question we got?
I want to mention something, actually.
One more.
This is something, a realization I've had. I think it's worth bringing this up. I have been hardcore into, if you look at my house for the last 10 years, I've always had mad superfoods and herbs and all sorts of stuff in the cupboards and all that, and I've hardly eaten anything, really. And, I've had this sort of judgmental attitude, all these fat people eating too much food and all this sort of thing. Those come from certain belief systems. And I've come to realize recently that I need to eat more food. You know, I don't want to contradict what Brother Nick's saying, but I have to bring this up because I personally have not had enough fuel for my optimum blood sugar balance. And I've started eating more food, as simple as this might seem to maybe a lot of people, but I've realized that the raw food mentality has brainwashed me into not having enough fuel as in stuff that just burn, calories to burn, and subsequently have been feeling spaced out for several years because of not eating enough fuel. So I've recently started actually physically eating more, which has been like a challenge to do, because I'm not used to eating much food. I'm used to eating like a smoothie here and there, a little bit of a salad, and thinking I've had a feast. And I can say that I'm feeling tremendously better for it as a result. So I just want to bring that perspective in, that you've got to be careful with all this nutritional information, that you definitely have blood sugar levels that are not, dwindling and allowing you to feel spaced out, because it can happen and you don't realize it's happening. That's been my experience. So eat the quality of nutrition, but nutrition in itself isn't enough without having blood sugar. So, this is just basically 10 years worth of experience I'm sharing here. And, to a lot of people, this is blatantly obvious, and they know that anyway. But rather than thinking to myself, oh, I'm not really hungry, I shouldn't be eating, I don't want to be indulging in food, when I think I need to eat, and even if I'm not, don't think I'm hungry, a lot of the time I'm hungry, I'm just so used to being starved that I'm not aware. So I'm just being very transparent with everyone. Revelation I've had recently. And I want to just bring this up because I don't want any of you guys to not eat enough food at the expense of you ending up being spaced out, because this is a big problem that I personally have dealt with. And I've seen a lot of other people into the nutrition that have the same problem. So fuel. In fact, the nutritionist that I go to see, she said to me, the biggest problem people have, especially if people are into health, they got the nutrition down, they've got all the minerals and all that stuff, antioxidants, and they've got massive amounts of vitamin C and all this different stuff, but they haven't got enough fuel, and she said out of the two, fuel's more important than nutrition, because if your blood sugar drops, you can't function very well. So ideal situation is that you have enough fuel to think properly and feel supported, and you have nutrition as well, both of them together, and then that's a winning combination. So you know, be careful you don't starve yourself like I have, and thinking that you're somehow righteous, because it's just nonsense, and I have to be humbly aware of that.
Lovely. So that brings us into Kathleen, this last question here. Kathleen's got an interesting one. She says, I hope you understand the importance of this question and don't see it as a critical opinion. I feel that the world is moving very fast at the moment, with shifts occurring on every level every day. And while I can keep up with these shifts, it sometimes seems to me that the training cannot. I have the feeling that going to the training is pulling me back a bit, which gives me the feeling that the training is not really adapting anymore to the new world as it is presented to me on another level. How do I handle this? What do you think about it yourself in all sincerity? Well, I'm sure Mike's got something to say about this, but I just want to say, for this conversation, what we just had today, you see, these are real life situations. That paddle that I did yesterday, what Mike just said about the food thing, all these experiences of these people, you know, the different stages in their lives, doing this, doing that. This is real life stuff happening today. And so in these live calls, what you get is the, you know, that adapting to the shifting the shifts of the world. Now, I'm someone who lives on the leading edge. I've been living on the leading edge for the last 25 years of my life, in one way or another, exploring the frontiers of consciousness, of understanding of life, living in the jungle, living super wild, living in all kinds of different circumstances and things, experiencing different levels of consciousness, all kinds of different situations. I'm someone that lives there, and I still do today. And I still use the foundation principles and the foundation practices, the very, very, very basic foundation that this training is built on. I use that as my foundation every single day of this life. That's what I do. And I'm surrounded right now by 1,000 books in this library in my office that I'm here now with, you know, all kinds of stuff. But for me, it's like a world-class athlete. If you hang around with a world-class athlete, someone who is the best at what they do, who can do it faster or longer and stronger than anyone else in the world, and there might be a million other people trying to do that, but he's the best, I guarantee you what he'll do more than anything is the simple basic over and over and over and over and over. So what you get with the training is the core tools to create a solid foundation. And what you get with the world is the shifting manifestation of things. I'll just wrap this up with the Chinese interpretation of things, the way the Chinese look at it, using a bit of a Chinese lingo here. The I Ching, you ever heard of the I Ching, the Book of Changes? That's the thing that you can throw your coins or throw your little straws and whatever pattern they arrange in, you can translate that and read. Get a little reading and get some guidance in the Book of Changes, the I Ching. That gives you guidance in the world, how to move through the world. What the I Ching does is it describes the movement, the fractal movement, the holographic movement, the fractal movement of the yin and yang. The yin yang, you know the yin yang symbol? Everybody knows the yin yang symbol, the nature of opposites that this world is made of. Well, the yin-yang is the nature of life, which the Chinese call the Tao. That's the nature of our reality, of the world that we live in, is this polarization, this feminine, masculine, this darkness and light,
and the Book of Changes, Yi Ching, describes the movement of all that. Well, the Tao, which is the way of life, life itself, that emerges from something called Wu Qi. And what superhero training does through soul consciousness, through man above, through prayer, through getting up early, through simplifying your life, through all of these things, it allows you to experience Wu Qi, to be one with that, the original formless emanating source of all things. And then the rest of the training allows you, whatever you, not just one person on the training, there's hundreds and hundreds of people going through this training and thousands to come. They're all in different parts of the thing. They're more emphasizing in the Book of Changes, or more emphasizing in the year, or more emphasizing in the Tao, or that's changing every day, this, that, boom, boom, boom. So we provide the whole pastiche. So someone can pick off the smorgasbord what's appropriate for them today. And we emphasize over and over and over, just do what you are most in resonance with and most need of today. And you're going to be needing something else maybe next week or next month or next year. I hope that's cleared that up. What were you saying?
Yeah, that's... You know, I'd like to know more about what you mean, Kathleen, because, you know, becoming aware of who you are and what is your essential essence, the being that is experiencing the world speeding up, the being that you are that's experiencing everything in life. I'm not sure how you experiencing your essential nature, who you really are, could be somehow not keeping up with the times. Because really the training is just pointing you back to yourself and saying, look, re-experience yourself, come into the highest version of yourself, be completely in integrity with what is the best thing for you in this moment. Be in a higher consciousness, upgrade your relationships, upgrade your health, upgrade your physical activities, shift things up. It's all about you being up to date right now and being super focused. So I'm not quite sure how that could possibly be behind the times because it's up to the second. In fact, it's leading edge. And, people are just running around like headless chickens most of the time nowadays. You know, people are just rushing about, distracted. So it's much to do about nothing, what most people are doing. If you just watch people, they wake up, they're stressed out, they run around, they eat food, they run around, they go to sleep, they have nightmares, they have dreams, they wake up, they run around. That's just how people are. We don't want to keep up with that whole thing. That's just a complete distraction machine. The media is a distraction machine. People's minds are distracting them. Cell phones are distracting them. Facebook's distracting them. We don't want to keep up with that at all. We want to free ourselves from that whole machine, get in touch with ourselves, get in touch with what's essential for us, get in touch with the essence of life itself and the real shifts that you're personally going through and make adjustments and transformations on a very deep level for you personally and be really up to date with who you are and what's going on for you personally aside from all the stuff in the world, you know. The world is, you know, at a speedy pace destroying itself at the moment in the most part. You know, people are going through a destruction process of just liberating themselves from their own madness, just like a spider is trapped in its own web nowadays. So we don't want anything to do with that, you know. We want to help liberate people from the web. We don't want to be trying to keep up with it. Not denying it, not pretending it doesn't exist, not any of those things, but, you know, the speed of things is happening to purify and wake people up. But the most important thing for us is to wake up ourselves, come back to ourselves, and be on the leading edge of what's really going on, which is very, very subtle. So if you have any questions, Kathleen, in more detail about this, I'd love to hear them. Feel free to ask more questions. Just realize that everything we're sharing is not some information, random stuff. It's bringing you back to yourself and helping you to go into yourself. It's not about some training, some outside thing pulling you back. It's about you looking at yourself and making refinements personally. And, you know, one of the things that I have to mention is that this is hardcore training. This is the real deal, you know. Most things in the world, in all honesty, are just spiritual ego, especially a lot of spiritual stuff is just the ego wants to feel good, thinks it's the best ever. But this is about actually dissolving the limited sense of self, you know, freeing ourselves from these trances and these influences and going into new territories. It's not about a spiritual ego. And most of the stuff around that you'll see on emails, selling courses and all this stuff is just pandering to the ego, and people are feeling better about themselves without actually having to make a transformation. And most of these New Age techniques and principles that you come across, they're basically saying that, you know, everything's not your fault, you don't have to take responsibility, you know, everyone else's thoughts, that's the problem, other people are the problem, and it's just, you know, promoting a fake transformation. But we're saying, you know, look deep at yourself, face yourself, transform yourself on a profound level, and when you do that, you come across a massive amount of stuff that you wouldn't otherwise have seen. And like, you know, homeopathy, when they give you those homeopathic pills, the illness erupts within you first. And you get all the symptoms, all the stuff comes up, and the ego comes up, and everything comes up. And then it clears, right? And that's the difference between superhero training and other training. So if you're feeling it's holding back, probably what's really going on is that your ego, rather than being pampered and rather than it being, you know, a massage like most other people are doing, it's just revealing itself to you, and it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me, it's uncomfortable for Nick, it's uncomfortable for everyone who goes through this process. But what ends up happening is you get healed and you get purified and you come out free. But, you know, it's more hardcore, but the result is long-lasting and the real deal. And so, you know, this isn't some pretend feeble, you know, half-assed thing. This is the real deal. And it takes a lot of courage and a lot of humility to really look at ourselves. Anyone who can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and sit in silence for 1 hour is going to face themselves very deeply. You know? So all these different practices, they're all going to basically challenge you on some level. And that's a good thing, you know. So never think that looking at yourself and really making deep adjustments is holding you back. Consider the challenge and the resistances as an opportunity for growth and freedom, and really understand the difference between pretend spirituality and the real deal, which is all about humility, surrender, and having a good look. So I want to really respect everyone for being here and for being willing to listen to this and look at yourself and show up and, you know, and go places that no one has gone before and people are afraid to go, you know. Not for everyone, even though people are now running around destroying themselves and having to have accidents and illnesses and bad relationships and lose all their money and everything's happening really severely and harshly to wake people up. But you're choosing to look at yourself, go through that inner death, go through that inner challenge, so you don't need to have your house repossessed. You don't need to, you know, have terrible relationships. You don't need to get cancer. You don't need to be taken out by various issues. You can do it on the inside, and then you can have a great life now. You know? So this is deep, 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 deep. Encourage everyone to go even deeper and realize the power of what you have here and really take it to the next level. That's what I would say. We have someone else with a hand up. Hello. Actually, can you put your hand up again? I pressed the wrong button. I can't remember who it was. Press star 2. I'd love to. There we go. Hello. Aloha.
Hello. Aloha. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. How are we doing?
Great. I'm doing awesome. I'm doing really well. I just thought I'd check in. I'm sitting. so good to connect with everyone. I just thought I'd check in and I'm sitting right now looking out over the cliff face facing the Pacific Ocean. Yeah. Hopefully looking in the direction of Hawaii. I think I am.
I'm waving to you. I'm giving you a little wave.
Give you a wave, awesome.
Yeah, there
we go. I'm a long way away across here in the Australian continent, but look, I really resonated with what Kathleen was feeling. You know, I've been through some really humbling experiences in everything from cancer to morbid obesity and really crazy experiences over the last decade, and a lot of it is exactly, you know, what you're saying, Michael, is being so far from yourself, and you know, there's the best thing ever is to go through deeper levels of these pain, come out the other side. And find yourself, and at times it just feels like you're just getting smashed, but it's all good. I reckon if you keep going, keep doing what you're doing. If you're feeling like you're being displaced and feeling lots of what you're doing is putting you in a space that's possibly not the best ever. There's a really good place for you on the other side. I just wanted to put that message of hope out there. And it's a beautiful sunny day here. I just thought I'd share.
Thank you. That's so beautiful. Yeah, you know, it's intense. You know, realistically, it's the hero's journey. Is you think about all the films we've seen, pretty much every film has a hero, every story has a hero, and in this case, each one of us is the hero in our own journey, and we are guaranteed to have challenges and to feel like we're going backwards sometimes. You know, I've experienced it on so many occasions. I can't even count them, frankly. And a lot of the time we can question ourselves, wonder, are we going mad? Is this working? Feel depressed, feel disempowered, disheartened, feel like giving up, and all sorts of other feelings and experiences. And that's good that happens, because it allows us to go through a process of really tuning in deeply with ourselves on a level that we wouldn't have otherwise. Because when things are going great, we're kind of just floating about. But when we get these challenges, we have to really look at ourselves, and that allows us to go deep and come forth with more jewels. And every time that it happens, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, so. Yeah, don't worry about it. Anyone who's experiencing any challenges at all, don't see it as a bad thing. That's the main thing to take away from this. It's not a bad thing. it's an opportunity to go back into yourself even more and ask the question, like I mentioned earlier, what are the things that you do that bring you joy, that really move you forward? Like, what is essential for you? And really, all this stuff that's stressing us out is just complicated extra stuff that is in the way, you know. And when we let it go, let it go, let it go, it's all liberated, you know. And the training isn't, we've never said you have to do this, and all these things. We've given you a very comprehensive training, but it's up to you, each one of you, to pick out the things that work best for you. You don't have to do all the different things. You just have to tune into them, try them out, and see which of the things have the greatest impact and benefit, and trust yourself. You know, we're not trying to clone people. We're trying to empower you and inspire you to know yourself more so that you can make the best decisions in your life now and in the future. You know? Wouldn't you say, Tim?
Yeah, that really resonates with me. I've had experiences, and which, you know, when you're kind of gratifying the base senses and things seem to be really going well for yourself, you can drift. And if you don't provide the intensity in your own life, the universe seems to provide that intensity for you, and possibly in ways in which you may not appreciate. And a lot of that is alignment with who you truly are. And you know, I had some very strange ideas of what it comes back to, expectation of what you really think you should be receiving. You know, I had ideas that, you know, success was about, you know, living in a, you know, working in an office, you know, achieving certain goals that, you know, were so far removed from who I truly am. You know, at the tender age of 43, I kind of like now living this life that, you know, I certainly have a lot more happiness and joy in my life. And more abundance, really, too, in so many ways. But the expectations of what success is had to be realigned. So, you know, and on a moment-by-moment basis and on a long-term basis. It also takes a fair bit of hardcore work. So, you know, at times you kind of feel like, I should be really experiencing this now, because I'm not experiencing that. Therefore, I'm not doing something right. You know, what is right? When you get back into breath, get back into source energy, you get that realignment. Sorry, I hope you can hear me okay. I've got a rescue helicopter flying overhead. Look, I hope that makes sense. And hope those thoughts help someone along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, brother. So good to hear your experience, because it's the real deal. You know, this is... I've got another question related to this from Atiza. She's saying, you know, when you start anything new, what happens is you get all inspired and you make these changes and you feel fully, completely different, and that's wonderful, right? And that's happened to all of us. Anything new is exciting, right? But after a while, and this is the same when you do any new programs or you learn a new instrument, if you're playing music, or if you go to a new country or whatever, it starts off exciting, and then you come back to a certain plateau level, and you then have to reignite the flame, you know. And like Nick was saying earlier, that if you speak to, you know, world-class athletes, Olympians, anyone who's on the cutting edge of anything, any area, science or whatever, they always come back to basics, okay? again and again and again and again. You know, you always come back to the basics. And there's in business, there's this curve that they show, a diagram on it. And if you just imagine a curve that starts off with a steep slope upwards, and then it gradually curves down, like a rainbow. Imagine a rainbow. It steeply curves up, and then it goes, you know, at the top it's fairly flat, and then it starts dropping back down again the other side. So when you start the training, you're going up this rainbow, and you're making all these changes. Then you get to the top of the rainbow, and you start coming down the other side, right? Now, what most people do is they come down the other side, and then they end up drifting. They end up just drifting and ending up at the bottom again. But what we have to do is we have to jump on another rainbow, okay, and go up another steep curve. And then when that starts going down the other side, we create another rainbow, you know. So if you just imagine it's a series of rainbows, and as soon as it starts dipping down, you need a new one. That's a good way of looking at this stuff, you know. And what that actually means for you, practically, if you think about it, is to re-inspire yourself by, well, I mean, there's so many ways you can do that, you know. Matthias is asking the question, you know, should I start again from the beginning, you know, doing the meditations, or do you have any other suggestions getting back on the best track? You know, when, just like that question I mentioned at the beginning, if you write down where you are now, okay, and one of the best things I've experienced is just throw away loads of stuff. I mean, it's not just for the sake of it, but you destroy and remove everything that doesn't work for you now. As soon as you remove the stuff that doesn't work, you immediately feel new energy. So if anyone's feeling like they're dipping back down on the other side of the rainbow, all you've got to do is look at your life, look at all the objects in your life, look at your relationships, and remove things. You don't even have to add anything. You just get rid of stuff that doesn't work. Does this clothes work? Does this project work? Is this thing here really something I want to do long term? Look at them all from where you are now. And anything that's not the best ever, let it go. And that immediately brings in new energy. So stuff that you'd never consider, even in relationships, you know, I've had to renounce certain relationships to get new relationships. You know, you have to stop seeing certain people in order to get new. You need to get new things. You have to let go of old things. You know, throw stuff away. You know, cut. When this brings in new energy, you know. Worth learning about feng shui a little bit. That's very useful in the house. But this brings a certain newness, you know. And, you know, one of the things that some people love to do at the end of the training, if they finish training, is we do personal sessions with us, you know, like help that is very just personal to you that you wouldn't get otherwise with that one-on-one support. Of course, we do this with the live calls. You can ask us questions, but some people, they want to go deeper into a personal session. Some people want to come here to Hawaii to have a retreat, one-on-one retreat. There's all sorts of other things that we could be helping you with on a deeper level if you're ready for that kind of thing. But simple thing to do is just remove, right? And just be in the guidance and the openness. What could you do that's new and different? What could you do that's going to bring you joy? Keep going back to the essence. So what are the things that really work for you? What's the stuff that's not working? And really, that's what it all comes down to. Let go of the stuff that doesn't work. Add more of the stuff that does work. This might sound simple, but when you actually do this and apply it, you experience tremendous amounts of power that you wouldn't otherwise experience. So I hope that's useful. Simple, but effective. How do you like that, Tim? Does that make any sense to you?
Oh, thank you, Michael. Yeah, that is awesome. I was just contemplating the the fact that it's always a refinement, isn't it? You kind of you get to a point, and clearing is being huge for me at the moment. I think I saw you posted on Facebook that you've just like taken everything out of a room, and then like, you know, reorganize that space, and it, you, like, your own space becomes like your vision board, that feng shui of that area. You know, feng shui is like wind and water. It is actually what you're kind of seeing, therefore reproducing from what you see in your environment, and that's huge for me. I've really affected my world in so many adverse ways from my personal environment, and positive ways at times. And then the other side of it is actually the rainbow side of it is, you know, getting up the top of that curve and then recreating the rainbow, so that you're aligning yourself to where you're trying to be, the intensity of your goals, and getting in that energy, not falling into that state of being where your sense of worthiness or state is old patterns, but that new state, reminding yourself constantly. I like the meditation timer. I think you gave me that idea like ages ago. I think on the first superhero training, just like one gong, you know, going off every so often, just reminds you to take a breath and get back into state and you know, align yourself with the light and source energy and your goals and your vision constantly. Otherwise, you can't drift back into old patterns. I've had that thing going for quite a while now. It really, really works. And if I forget to put it on, like, it's amazing how things drift.
Yeah. You know, refinement is the word. You know, that word you just mentioned, refinement, it's a refinement, you know. This is, I'm just going to be completely frank here, okay, because we're all family here, and I just want to tell you guys just the real deal, no bullshit, is that most things that we do, most stuff in the world, is just pretend spirituality. It's all for the ego, right? And we have to get out of this whole thing of satisfying our ego all day long and judging whether or not the ego has been fed and nice and fat and happy as a judge to how successful we are, you know? Because all of us need to become more humble and take things to a higher degree, you know? Soul consciousness, actually being consciously aware that we are non-physical, blissful, eternal beings who are completely free from everything that we experience and exist totally separate from every single thing in our life and all the stories, come back to that pure bliss and pure peace aside from everything, and to make everything smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and basically experience what it's like to be an angel. Everything just disappears into this little point. To experience that state is extremely remarkable and just profoundly beautiful, you know. And so if anyone listening is not experiencing a profound freedom and profound bliss all the time, then it shows that we're not soul conscious, you know. We're not in alignment with who we really are. We're caught up in the story and in the ego and all the nonsense. But just that one thing of coming back to soul consciousness, coming back to ourselves, coming back to that profound peace, just that by itself is extremely beautiful and powerful, you know. So, and the same with anything. You can go back through the whole training and just watch any of the videos and say to yourself, all right, have I actually understood this fully, and have I actually applied this 100%? And if not, how could I do that? How could it be different? you know, because everyone else in the world pretty much is feeding your ego. Every person in your life, all these courses and entertainment, it's all ego, 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 feeding, feeding, feeding. And so you get instant gratification, it's like an addiction. And so when we are so used to being fed on that level, and to get away from that addiction and to experience freedom is so different that your ego is like, well, what's going on here? This isn't working. I need to change things. But to go deeper and be inspired. Like, how can you feel more peace? How can you feel more love? How can you have a better experience of your day? How can you have more energy? How can you enjoy, you know, the wonder of nature more? You know, how can you serve more? Just ask these kind of questions and be open to it. And magic happens. Miracles happen. I'm constantly bombarded with synchronicities and bizarre occurrences of wonderful, magical moments because I like to ask that question. What can I do? What can I go to the next level? How can I refine this? And that word refine has been something on my mind for years now. How can I refine this? How can I go deeper? How can I feel go to the next level? What am I missing? What do I need to see? You know, deep, you know. So I'm not sure that makes any sense. Hopefully it does. But just realize that, just ask yourself, have you applied every single thing in the training to the highest degree possible and completely mastered every single thing to the nth degree, to the point that there couldn't be any more mastery? If the answer is no, then go deeper with it and see how it could be new and different. And only pick the things that you're inspired to do that are exciting and challenging to you. You know, don't worry about stuff that seems weird to you at this point. Go to the stuff that is appealing and break through. So, It's fun. And like I said, getting rid of stuff, funny enough, strangely enough, it inspires you to go to the next level. You know, so that's just like a quick fix. It's just chuck a bunch of stuff out of your house. And you immediately feel liberated. So hopefully that's given some inspiration to go to the next level. You know, we have to become the inspirers of ourselves, you know, and just be the difference. In a teaser, let me know if that was useful to you. You know, just knowing that we're not here to pamper our egos, we're here to liberate ourselves. That's a huge paradigm shift. Hardly anyone in the world has made that shift, you know. So just realize you're on the leading edge. Just thinking about this stuff, just even being aware of it, is very unusual, let alone being practicing. So any last comments, Tim, while you're here?
I'd just like to pamper my ego. I'm just joking. Sorry. Oh, God.
Yeah, just give yourself a good pampering, you know. Yeah. Just take some drugs and just watch some TV and you're the best ever. You don't have to do anything, you know. More sex, drugs and rock and roll, that's all you need.
I might just
go shopping. That's it. Just go shopping, buy some more crap that you don't need. You'll feel better. You get stuff your face with food. Watch a bunch of movies.
I wonder if anyone's seen my update on Facebook. You know, is there anything? Why hasn't that person responded to that text? Sorry.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> Playing around for entertainment. What's next?
Instant gratification. Yeah.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah. Fun games. Good evidence. Yeah. Yay. Fun and games. So if in doubt, get rid of 20% of your stuff. You'll feel great.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much stuff I got to get rid of, I tell you.
Yeah. Well, you go for it, bro. Tell us how it goes next time, right?
Thank you so much, mate.
Yay. Love you all. Sweet talking to you. Leave us more questions. Keep asking questions. We're on.
We love talking to you. And talk to you all next time. Have the best week ever. Best week ever next week. And go on that new rainbow. What can be your new rainbow? Just ask that question. What is the new rainbow for you? How can you inspire the next level of your rainbow? Might sound like an abstract question. Ask it and see what comes. And we'll talk to you soon. Aloha. From Hawaii. Talk to you soon. Have fun. Take care. Yeah.